This is a special episode. It's our 200th episode. This has truly been an amazing ride, and it wouldn't be nearly the reward if it wasn't for all of you. I want to thank you. Your support has helped us make it this far, and I want to thank our wonderful guests who have shared so much knowledge and inspiration. You are incredible, and keep up the amazing work. I can't wait for the next 200 episodes. In honor of this milestone, we have a surprise. We are doing a mic swap. I'm going to be the guest, and our host is Tina Morgan. Tina was my partner in crime starting this podcast, and she produced over 150 episodes. She is now the director of special projects in the Emory Office of Wellbeing. And I am going to hand over the mic to Tina.
Thank you so much, Sharon. This is such an honor, and it's such an exciting milestone. This is amazing. Let's start by giving you a proper introduction first, since most of your listeners might not know all that you do. So I'll read your intro today. Dr. Sharon Berquist is Pam Rollins Professor of Medicine at Emory University School of Medicine. She is a practicing internal medicine physician, scientist, and lifestyle medicine pioneer with over 25 years of experience in patient-centered clinical care. She founded Emory Lifestyle Medicine and Wellness in support of her belief that academic medicine and health systems need to lead in prevention as well as high-tech treatment of disease. A signature program developed through the center is the Emory Healthy Kitchen Collaborative, a 12-month evidence-based multidisciplinary worksite wellness program and clinical trial with proven health benefits outcomes that has won several scientific awards at national presentations. She is also a researcher at the forefront of using evidence-based lifestyle interventions for the prevention and management of disease and the optimization of health and longevity. She has been the lead investigator or co-investigator in over a dozen clinical trials that have received $61 million in funding for evaluating lifestyle interventions and early biomarkers for well-being, chronic disease, and healthy aging, including ongoing studies looking for early markers of Alzheimer's disease and cancer. With support from the Emory School of Medicine, she is building a top-tier clinic of the future to integrate biomarker measures of health and digital therapeutics into clinical care to optimize health, well-being, and longevity. She has received over 30 patient care awards, including being nationally recognized in the top 1% of her specialty by Press Ganey, and has been peer voted by her physician colleagues as a Castle Connolly top doctor and one of Atlanta's top doctors for multiple consecutive years. Dr. Sharon has appeared or been interviewed for over 200 news segments, including for Good Morning America, CNN, ABC News, The Wall Street Journal, NPR, and Women's Health Magazine. She holds a degree in molecular biophysics and biochemistry from Yale College, attended Harvard Medical School, and completed her internship and residency in internal medicine at the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts. What a bio. Today, we are going to reflect on what we have learned through podcasting. We'll recap the biggest themes from our guests, discuss the health trends to anticipate in 2024, and maybe even share a sneak peek of what's ahead for the podcast. So let's begin. Dr. B or Sharon, what motivated you to start this podcast in the first place years ago?
You know, Tina, it makes me think back in 2017 when you and I were so passionate about implementing lifestyle medicine in healthcare. And this podcast really became an outgrowth of that. Tina and I were very committed to bring evidence-based lifestyle medicine. There's a lot of information about nutrition available publicly, a lot of commercialized information. And we wanted to bring evidence-based medicine, which has been shown in so many studies to be incredibly effective, preventing 80% of chronic disease. And we wanted to make it accessible to as many people as possible. So in addition to the clinical programs that we implemented at our institution, we wanted to share the science that so many of the experts that we knew and were colleagues of ours were creating and implementing at their institutions. And this podcast really became an outgrowth of our excitement about the science behind wellness and longevity.
Absolutely. And the excitement to connect with the people that were leading the way on this work.
I know. I would not have guessed. I mean, this is the fifth year. Again, when you start something, you have no idea where it's going to go. And it's just grown so much in the time that we've been doing this. I mean, we are now on 69 platforms, 131 countries, which is, you know, probably not something we even had a plan for when we started this. We've been rated 20th top podcast by FeedSpot as the top healthy living podcast. We are in the top 5% of podcasts on Listen Notes. So we've just been tremendously thrilled with the response and all of the support that all of you, our wonderful listeners, have provided us.
Absolutely. What impressive numbers. And I also remember how special it has been to get personal notes from some of our listeners. If you may remember, we've got one from Poland and we've got several through the years, but especially those first few were very, very memorable and special.
Yeah, I think that's really the reward of doing all the work that we're doing. So yes, it's been great.
Well, talking about the rewards, Sharon, what has been the most valuable component of hosting a podcast for you?
Yeah, I think you just touched on one of them. It really is the network of colleagues, the people across the country and even globally that are doing such incredible work, are so committed to advancing science as well as the implementation of lifestyle medicine. And to be able to connect and share and to make our conversations available to other people to benefit from has been incredibly valuable. And both you and I know that anyone trying to implement this type of care that's more prevention-oriented, more centered around, you know, food as medicine, lifestyle as medicine, there are a lot of uphill battles. And I think if you're going to do something like this, you have to get used to setbacks. And talking to colleagues has been just an amazing support to know that they are going through the same thing, sharing our path, getting ideas, brainstorming. So the network, the community has been absolutely amazing. And as you just said, getting the feedback from the people who are listening, all of you who have shared so much about how much you're learning, my own patients have shared so much about what they're learning from the podcast. I think these have been tremendously valuable.
Having a support group, absolutely. And let's lean into that, the challenging component, Sharon. You mentioned sometimes it is an uphill battle. So what have been some of the hardest parts of this?
Well, I mean, I think any podcast is a lot of work. Unless you do it, you don't really appreciate just all that goes into it. You know, when you and I started, we were kind of a two-man show. Everything from selecting guests, and we're very careful about our guest selection because we are very committed to making sure that our guests are very science-based in their approach that they're presenting. So just selecting guests, scheduling everything from the production pieces of it. We're now so fortunate to have a growing team with Sydney Park doing our video and helping with production. Huge shout out to Radio MD, incredibly professional with their audio editing, and we couldn't be more grateful for the final products that they've been helping us create. And the posting, the dissemination, there's so many variables. So I think from the podcast standpoint, that's certainly a challenge, but it's something that if you're passionate and committed, like everything else, it's very worthwhile. And from an implementation standpoint within healthcare of lifestyle medicine, I think it's innovative for a healthcare space. And I think that always creates challenges because you're creating the path behind everything from reimbursement to the actual nuts and bolts of the implementation. And I think one of the most inspirational things working with colleagues across the country, many of our guests, is the recognition that change really happens from groups of small people that are highly motivated and committed to making change, and that's how momentum builds. I don't think we need to wait for broad sweeping legislation to switch our healthcare system and our food system towards prevention. I think all the work that people are doing creates enough momentum until we get to that tipping point for change to happen. And realizing how much of that is happening in different pockets throughout the country has been one of the greatest gifts from doing this podcast.
It's funny, what I hear you say is that it sounds like the most inspiring and then the most challenging components of these work are basically the same. And it's the fact that the small groups of individuals who are really, really passionate, they can really make things happen, even though it can be hard. But forming that peer support network where we can know that we're not alone and connecting with like-minded individuals has been such a gift of this program and podcast.
Definitely. I think the community, which has been just so supportive, and I mean that in a very broad sense of people that you feel that you know as friends, even though you may not have even met in person, but the amount of support virtually and through the connections has been very inspiring to keep moving through the hurdles and the challenges.
Well, let's talk about our guests. What have been the biggest themes from our guests that you've heard and spoken about?
That's a great question. I would say probably four main themes I can think of. The first theme is really what we're very committed to, and it is sharing information on how effective science is behind lifestyle for prevention. And even though we know it, I think what we've heard over and over as a theme is the magnitude of the impact. And I think that's really where it's been eye-opening. We've had guests talk about prevention, management, and even reversal of heart disease, for example, with Dr. Caldwell Esselstein, Brian Asbill, Joel Kahn. We've had people talk about the prevention, management, and reversal of diabetes and insulin resistance. Robbie Barbaro with Mastering Diabetes, incredible book and resource. Brenda Davis, brilliant dietitian, just spreading so much information about diabetes. Cancer is an area that I think it's been really eye-opening, learning how much is in our control. We think about that more for chronic disease, not always apply that to cancer, but just having guests speak about our ability to prevent really from various guests, anywhere from 40 to up to 70% of breast cancer and prostate cancer. We had Dr. Benny Gavi speak about prostate cancer with Myla Alon. We've had Amy Commander at Harvard, Don Musalem at Mayo Clinic, Amber Orman just speaking so much about breast cancer prevention. And I'm going to say not just prevention, but treatment efficacy with lifestyle and reduction of recurrence. An entire field of exercise oncology, as Amy Commander was sharing, on just how incredibly recognized the role of exercise is throughout the whole course, from prevention to management to recurrence. So I think that's been a recurrent theme and probably one of the most valuable ones. We've also had guests speak about all the different types of chronic disease that are prevented, like Michael Greger, how not to die, of course. Mayor Eric Adams on how effective lifestyle has been in general, and especially in the New York hospital systems. And so that's definitely been a repeated theme. I would say the second has been microbiome. I think since the time we've been doing this podcast, there's been an explosion of research as well as information and kind of greater awareness of the importance of the microbiome. So we've had Dr. Will Bulsiewicz, who's been on three times, incredible book, Fiber Fueled. If you want to hear that episode, it was 106, actually. And I highly recommend. He's just such a wealth of information. Dr. Robin Chutkan has been on. She's, again, one of the leading experts, Emron Meyer, 4 decades of research he's done related to the gut microbiome. So incredible expertise behind gut microbiome that people have shared. So many of our guests have touched on the importance of the microbiome. And I think we're going to continue to hear about it because of so much of the role that it plays in health and longevity. I would say probably a third theme has been more around food quality and the sourcing of our food, more awareness about just farming practices, about regenerative agriculture and the importance of soil health and biodiversity. Zach Bush spoke about that. Brenda and Corey Davis spoke a lot about that. Dr. David Katz, you know, who has really spearheaded a lot of information about food source and sustainability. that's been a recurrent theme, and probably a newer one has been nature as medicine. We've had a couple guests, Dr. John LaPuma, we've had Dr. Melissa Sunderman, talk about the need for us as humans to connect with nature and the importance for managing anything from anxiety to just the incredible transformation that it has within our own body when we make that connection with nature. So I think that has been probably another really big theme. But it's all really just astounding, you know, of our kind of ecosystem, really. This all kind of speaks to how connected we all are as individuals, as gut bugs, as nature. It's all part of this ecosystem that ties into our health.
Wow, what a beautiful summary of just a huge body of work that you've created together in collaboration with all the guests that have been the visitors for the pod. So to recap for our listeners, you talked about just the power and the potential of lifestyle, everyday choices to prevent, reverse chronic disease. I mean, how exciting and empowering that is. The second trend you talked about was the microbiome and continued expanding research and just understanding how much influence our microbiome has. You talked about a more holistic, a comprehensive view at the food quality from not just tomato equals a tomato or blueberry equals a blueberry, but really where does that tomato come from and where does the blueberry come from and what is the bigger picture? How much nutritional value do those foods carry and how can we be mindful of where our foods come from? And then the final piece around nature, and I just recently was talking to somebody about forest bathing is another term that I heard about and the research that's coming from that. So that's really, really inspiring and again, a great summary. Sharon, what are some of the trends that you see emerging? What do you think are the topics that are gaining importance now?
I would say over the course of the time that we've done this podcast, sleep, I think there's almost been a 180. There was a time not too long ago where people were proud of how little sleep they used to get. And now you practically don't hear that. There's a lot more knowledge of how important sleep is. And now the focus of the conversation is towards the quantity and the quality of the sleep. So I think we're going to hear a lot more because of the role that sleep plays in virtually every aspect of our care. Mental health has really risen in its importance to our health and our just awareness of the role that it plays in our day-to-day lives and how to better manage mental health. And I would add probably a third emerging area has been coaching. Anything from, you know, historically there's been executive coaching, but the expansion to life coaching, to wellness coaching, to health coaching. Dr. Margaret Moore spoke about that with Well Coaches. Amazing Dr. Beth Frades and her coach approach. I think a lot of physicians are also now doing coaching. There's certainly a lot of coaching programs and people certified in coaching, including you, Tina. And I think it plays such an important role in the health behavior change. And it's becoming so much more commonplace for people to work with coaches. And I think we're going to see more of that as a trend.
And that is so hopeful. Sharon, I completely agree with you. I love now having colleagues or friends who brag about how beautiful quality and how much sleep that they're getting. I mean, this is so great to hear that people are now slowly shifting towards taking pride into what they now know is a great lifestyle behavior to indulge in. And I appreciate what you've talked about with mental health. And as we learn more and as we hopefully learn to look at it from a different perspective and really embracing mental health as a part of health. From the Office of Wellbeing perspective where I sit in today, one of the campaigns that we're talking about is just mental health is health and is capital in capital letters because it is a part of our health as is any other part. And it is important to recognize that. And I really, really appreciate you, of course, mentioning the health coaching too. I think I've personally really enjoyed learning more and getting the certification. But to me, this is just a sign of our recognizing that there needs to be a bridge between knowing what the science says around lifestyle, and then allowing and helping people to actually adopt the science in their life, and the fact that it's not that easy, and small kind of digestible points and accountability to help people take that from the statistics on the paper into what does it look like on their plate, on what, or what does it look like on their schedule, is just imperative.
Absolutely. That connection between the science and the implementation, the practical piece of it, because we're humans and humans are flawed and life is hard. And I think having the support through coaching or a very structured approach to implementing is very valuable.
Well, Sharon, let's talk a little bit more about the trends for 2024. And I would imagine that your listeners, our listeners, especially given the respect that you have as the thought leader, would especially appreciate hearing that from you. So what do you think are the trends that are coming our way in 2024?
2024, I would say we're going to see more of digital health and wearables implemented within a healthcare setting. I think a lot of that is already taking place. I think there are a lot of digital apps. Again, speaking to what you just spoke about, the implementation piece, helping people at a granular level make better decisions, it's such a complement to the advice we give in an office visit. But the actual implementation day to day, I think there's a lot of digital health technology, wearables, getting real-time health metrics, how you're doing day to day, anything from heart rate variability, sleep quality, and integration of that into care. I would like to envision a very optimistic use of AI within healthcare. I think we could use AI to improve health behavior. There's certainly the possibility for AI to recognize people's preferences and habits. If it's, you know, Sunday night and I'm at the grocery store and I do this weekly, it should be able to know my preferences and send me cute little prompts to make sure I make good choices and help me for the week. And I think the role of AI and behavior change is really powerful if we kind of train algorithms to help us do that. I think we're going to see more personalization of care, especially around nutrition. I think personalized nutrition is probably going to take the lead in the personalization for health behaviors. By that, for example, eating for your microbiome, I think we're also going to see more tailoring of diets. For example, if we have data showing plant-based diets across a population are efficacious, I think we're going to get more tailored advice for people based on their personal health condition, their preferences, hopefully with some genetic or microbiome data. So a little shift towards kind of less one size fits all and more personalized information. So I would say those are probably the trends I'd be looking for in 2024.
Thank you. It's really, really fun to hear that from you. And again, with the thought leadership and experience that you have to offer. If that's okay, I will add a few from the perspective in the hat that I wear, again, from the Office of Wellbeing. And for the listeners who might not be familiar with the Office of Wellbeing at Emory, we think about it from the perspective of our employees and our team members within all the different Waterfall Sciences Center units, including healthcare, but also health sciences schools, and really thinking about it from the systematic, from the organizational perspective. How do we conduct business, if I may say that, in a way that is appreciative of the well-being of our humans? And so with any decisions that we make, how do we make sure that we at least consider that decision through the lens of well-being? And some of the things that we're seeing and where I hope that we might be going through is really, again, integrating the science that we know, what are the lifestyle behaviors, or what does the science in general tell us about personal well-being and health, and how can we integrate that into the design, into the architecture of the spaces where people work, where people play, where people study, where people shop, etc. And so we're really, really thinking about it from the operations perspective and thinking, okay, can every meeting or every interaction have a moment of well-being, whatever that might be, right? Or as we think about benefits, for example, or as we think about our cafeterias and walking spaces, can we make sure that the stairs are readily available, or the plant-forward options, plant-based options are readily available, front and center, accessible in the cafeterias, things like that. Another component of the work that we're looking at right now and the trends and the areas that I see grow is really rediscovering I'll probably say the connectedness, the relationship building. And I think we really know that inherently as humans, but it sounds like in the past decades, probably with the development of the business and the work environment where work week hours get longer and longer and the technology and all of that, it somehow allowed us to get a little further away from each other. And we know Dr. Vivek Murphy, our Surgeon General, talks a lot about the epidemic of loneliness and isolation and really finding the ways to rediscover our humanity and again, create those environments and time in our day and schedules where it is possible to connect with each other in a meaningful way and continue to foster those relationships. And today in our busy lives, that sometimes takes more intentionality and actually takes scheduling. But my hope is that we continue to learn both the power and then the value of that. And of course, some of the recent findings, there have been so many studies and the Harvard study specifically that basically revealed that the biggest predictor of your longevity and the happiness in the life is the quality of the relationships that humans have in their life. So I would definitely mention those two as some of the pieces that are really exciting.
Completely agree. And I think this, it's so important to stop thinking about wellness as an add-on at the end of the day and how it needs to be a part of the day. And I think that really is going to be very valuable in the workplace because, you know, we all get home late and wellness can't just happen after 8 p.m. So I think the work that you're doing is wonderful.
Absolutely. Integration. Yes. Thank you, Dr. B. I enjoy our walking meetings when we get a chance to do those. Well, let's bring it back. We started with recapping our journey with the podcast, the lessons learned, the trends, the guests. And so let's bring it back to the podcast, but now look forward. What are some of the things that the listeners can expect in this year and going forward, Dr. B?
Oh, so I will say that, you know, at our core, we certainly want to continue having guests that we think add a lot of value to the conversation, who bring a lot of science and a lot of knowledge. So I think we're still going to have a commitment to having guests that are at the forefront of their expertise in their field and to give you the best information that we can. And my goal has always been and will continue to be to make sure there is some actionable advice that you can take from every episode and begin implementing into your life to live healthier, happier, longer. I will also probably start to do more solo episodes. There's a lot of breaking news in health articles, some that change our practice habits. And being able to share that closer to real time with people, I think, is something that would be beneficial. I also think there's growing numbers of direct-to-consumer companies that offer various types of testing. And I get a lot of questions about that in my clinical practice and bringing some of that information about what are good tests to pursue and some that may be a little bit ahead of the science. And I think the other area that I'm looking to expand on this year is really where the science is headed. There's a lot growing in the direction of the importance of cellular health. Our cells are our most fundamental units, and our cells have an incredible capacity to heal, to repair, and to regenerate. And I think if we learn more about lifestyle practices that activate our own regenerative capability, we can really fine-tune the lifestyle and help us build our health from a very fundamental unit up. So we'll have more guests. I'm talking about lifestyle actions like intermittent fasting. We've had Dr. Walter Longo, but there's a lot more information about cold plunges and their value to health. So getting more into the cellular health component. And with our 200th episode, we'll be launching our YouTube channel. So what's coming, it will also be video on YouTube of our podcast.
Wonderful. I will speak for myself. I certainly cannot wait for all of those. And I'm sure our listeners are in the same boat. I know I often am curious about what are your thoughts on some of the things that are emerging. Sometimes it's really hard to tell from either data or from papers, research papers, and the coverage sometimes does not really represent exactly what the research paper says. So it is really wonderful to hear from somebody that you trust who now has a recognition and respect in this field, somebody like you, Sharon. And I'm sure the listeners will really appreciate your perspective and expertise and wisdom with digesting some of these new things that we're seeing evolving and allowing them in the loop of what's happening. Well, it is bittersweet to end this, but we want to say thank you to all of our listeners for sticking with us and for sharing these episodes with your friends and colleagues for 200 episodes. We would really love for you to continue to support us. Please let Sharon know if you have any suggested topics you would like for her to cover or any feedback overall. Please share the show. We also really appreciate reading your reviews. So whatever your thoughts are, please share the review on whatever your platform of choice is. There are all different kinds of them, we know. And yeah, we hope that we will continue to stay in touch with you and continue to get letters from Poland and from England and from all the states within the United States. And we hope that we get to run into you in some of the conferences or maybe in the hallways of Emory.
Excellent. Thanks, Tina, for taking the mic.
Yes. Thank you for inviting me, Dr. B. What an honor.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode and share it with a friend. Until next time, do something to help improve your whole health naturally.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent.